Hey now, ladies and gentlemen, hey now. I say hey now. Welcome to the Line Monday edition, Talk 99.5.com, back for a brand new week, feeling fresh to death, rejuvenated. Hope everybody had a fantastic weekend as we have a full slate today. John Bird is here as well. John Bizzle, how are you?
I'm doing all right.
How was the weekend?
Yeah. It was just kind of
I made it a habit of listening to the Jim Butters Home Improvement show on Saturdays now. Most of it's because I want to see what you got going on. You know, I always hear about the weekend on the backside, but I want to know what it's like when it's in process and see if your opinions change from Saturday morning to Monday morning. And it seemed a little chaotic Saturday morning. I guess Jim rolled in here a little late. Is that right?
Yeah. He came in late. And then when he went to take his cigarette break at the top of the next hour, he forgot his keys. It was an interesting show. Tons of callers. I mean, it was just loaded. It was an interesting show. It was a good show, but man.
Listen, I think here's the thing. I think the Line is now the official mouthpiece for Jim Butter's show, because I'm going to make a point to promote that show to make sure everybody listens to it on Saturday, because I think it's a diamond in the rough. I think it's a gem that we have that a lot of people may not know about. For those that don't listen on the weekends, you just listen during the week while you're traveling to and from work or on your lunch break. Y'all need to really make a point to turn on 99.5 at 8 a.m. on Saturday. You know, you going out there doing your yard sale stuff, but maybe you work on Saturday. Flip that bad boy on, because you never know what you're going to get.
Yeah, that's the truth.
And who was the co-host? I didn't recognize the guy that was with Jim on Saturday. Is that his normal cohort?
He's got a new co-host from
he's an HVAC guy, right?
Yeah.
I might need to get him to come over to my house.
Did a great job at my house.
Did they?
Taking care of mine. Yeah, right before the heat hit.
Nice. Yeah, this morning was amazing. I can't keep my house cool to save my life, and I don't know what the problem is. So this morning when it was like 72, it was a nice change of pace. It was nice and cool in my house. Now, of course, it was 85 by the time I got to the top of this stupid hill, but it was nice to be a little cooler for once, because I've been burning up for like 2 weeks. I can't get a handle on it.
So you got warm air coming out?
No, the air's cold, but it's not blowing as hard as I think it should. Maybe I'm gauging that wrong. I don't know. I feel like I should be getting more air coming out of
it. It could be the Zephyr circuit. If you check that, there's a lot of issues with the Zephyr circuit, especially if your unit is between the... No, I'm just making all
that up. I'm saying that sounds like something you heard on Star Trek. Because I don't know what that is. I've done the normal stuff, like, go to YouTube, look and kind of see. I was actually going to do a deal, and the coils on the outside don't look like they're too dirty. Although I went behind it and got all the debris and leaves and stuff out of the way and tried to knock a little bit of the dust off there. But YouTube's telling me to, like, take the top of it off and move the fan and then take a pressure washer or some sort of sprayer and spray from the inside out
on
those coils. I'm scared if I take all that stuff out that when I put it back together, it's not going to work at all. So I'm not doing it.
Yeah, mine was older. The newer ones, I wouldn't mess with it.
I need an HVAC company, especially one that maybe wants to advertise on the Line. That would be a perfect fit.
Ooh.
we could work something out. You know what I'm saying? So I don't know. We'll get it figured out. But your weekend was meh. Is there a certain reason for that? Or
I'm still not feeling.
I mean, you're yawning right now,
really good.
So it must have been a long weekend.
I got plenty of sleep. It's just. Yeah, I'm still feeling nauseous. I mean, you feel that way all the time. It just kind of sucks the life out of you.
So you're still recovering from the medical condition from last week.
Yeah, I mean, I will be for a while. I'm just waiting for it to I'm waiting to feel a little bit better rather than feeling, you know, crappy 24 hours a day.
And what's the doctor telling you? Are you even going to the doctor?
Well, yeah, yeah, but I mean, it's that it's going to take time.
Oh, okay. They're just telling you to suck it up, wait it out.
Yeah, basically. I mean, you know, I'm not like, oh, I'm dying, but it, you just, you know, when you just feel like that, just you're just kind of blah.
No, I get it. I'm there. I'm actually there more often than not. I'm just able to play it off for 2 hours a day from 12 to 2. So, you know, I'm all right. On this end, over the weekend, I had to do driving school.
I saw you posted that. Mm-hmm. I'm so proud of you.
I know. Well, my court date for that particular ticket is Thursday. So it was make or break time. Like, I had one option, and that was to do driving school Saturday. And I've had 3 months to accomplish this, and I waited until 5 days before my court date. But it's done. I scored a perfect 100 on my test at the end of that gimmick. It was maybe the longest 4 hours of my life, but, you know, it is what it is. God bless the guy teaching that class because he really enjoys his job. He does. I mean, he genuinely cares about people getting out on the road and being safe. But for those of us that he's trying to convince to be safe, we've got other places we'd rather be.
Yeah.
Again, God bless it. I think he did a fantastic job. And we did it, and I picked the one. Like, you got an option of which ones you want to do, and they do about, let's see, it's like Monday, Tuesday, Thursdays, and Saturdays, you know, and they've got them in different location. I picked out the one in Fultondale, which happens to be at the La Quinta Inn, you know, instead of one of these boring ones that were like in a library, like a public library. I'm like, nah, let's go to the one at the hotel. That sounds more like a party.
Yeah.
It wasn't a party at all. it was probably identical to the one that was in the library. But I made it, and that's all that matters. Now,
you graduated, man.
I have to approach the courts between now and Thursday. I think I've got to have the physical ticket with me, which I found out this morning I have lost.
Oh, no.
So I'm working to figure out what I may be in front of a judge on Thursday having to explain myself for all
well,
I know.
You know what? You may be able to look up. Yeah, I know you can look up. Oh, that's right. You don't have your ticket. So
I don't have
the case
any
number.
Information on it.
You can just go to the police department. They'll take care of you.
Yeah. I mean, I don't even know what jurisdiction it is, honestly. Somewhere around here. I got to look at the ticket.
Oh, my gosh. Where did the ticket occur?
It was between Malfunction Junction and Fultondale. Because me and Pete Diddy were on his way to his basketball game that morning.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, well, good luck with that.
Thanks.
I mean, I hope it goes really well.
Yeah. We'll do my best to get that figured out. So that's on my slate this morning. Also, we had the pest control people come by over the weekend as well. Came by Friday, actually. And we were using a new company, which Trish took that job over, and she just Googled a company and pick the first one, which I would have advised against, okay? I don't think that's maybe the best thing to do, but whatever. She did that, and they show up. A couple of ladies, they're wonderful, great. They do a good job. So far, we've seen amazing results in the days after the job that they've done.
Mm-hmm.
They're supposed to come back in 2 or 3 weeks and do a follow-up and all that kind of stuff. So I want to just preface that they've done a great job. Now,
okay. Here it comes.
Now,
I knew it.
Now, as they were there, you know, we've got two cats, mm-hmm. right? I've got Ellie, our mama cat. She's not a mama; she's just the female cat, and I call her Nova. Trish calls her Ellie. I don't know what her name is. And then there's our other cat. Trish calls her Jax, but Trish calls him Jax, but I call him George. I named him George Floyd just because I like to name him after, you know, real people.
George Jax.
So his name is George
Ellie
Floyd.
Nova.
And the pest control lady seemed to be taking a liking to George. And she's like, oh, okay, yeah. This cat looks like my cat that I have. I'm like, oh, yeah, that's cool, whatever. And so they do the thing. They go on. The next day, Trish receives a text from the pest control lady. And in her defense, she says, I don't really want to ask this question. But it's been eating at me, and I just wanted to put it out there. Now, this pest control lady lives in our neighborhood somewhere nearby.
Oh, okay.
She said, my cat went missing about 3 weeks ago. And your cat, George Floyd, she didn't call him that, but your cat looks just like my cat. And I was just wondering when you got that cat. And Trish has to explain. Okay, we've had this cat since he was a little baby, right?
Wow.
And it was awkward. It was kind of awkward. Again, I'm not bashing her because one, she did a fantastic job at her house. I would recommend them to anybody. But for that to bother her to the point where she reached back out and she's like, "Hey." In so many words, you got my cat or what? And we're like, no, this is your cat.
Man.
And she took that explanation, you know. She didn't, like, continue to push on the issue. But I honestly, long story short, I hope she finds her cat. Because it's devastating when your animal runs away.
Oh, sure.
You're scared something maybe has happened to your cat, whatever. But I noticed during the interaction, She was really, really checking out the cat. And the cat, George, was really kind of, you know, very receptive to her. Like, so I could almost see where the thought process was going. But nonetheless, I think we've got that settled.
Well, you know, you could have proven it to her by just saying, you know, it's like, here, come here, George Floyd Jacks.
Right.
And he probably would have come right to you.
Well, the problem is cats are jerks and they don't listen
yeah,
to nobody.
They are.
So, ain't none of that going to work.
Yeah.
But, you know, I think it's settled. You know, one of two things are going to happen is we're just going to let it go, or when they come back to do the follow-up, our cat will go missing after they leave. So,
you know, oh, man.
Be one of those two scenarios.
That's awful. That's so awkward.
Man. That's my life, man. My life is one constant stream of awkwardness on a daily basis. That's my life. 545-9950. Again,
thanks for tuning into this uplifting show.
Welcome to Monday, everybody. I got a lot to get to. I really do. We'll see if we can make that happen. 545-9950. Y'all hang tight. The Line Talk 99.5, talk99.5.com. Ernest Financial bringing you this part of the show. I got a text message from my Aunt Julie yesterday, and she's like, these guys on this Ernest Financial show, they are cracking me up. Some of their bits that they do, making fun of Joe Biden and stuff, these guys are funny. So y'all, for real, need to be checking out the Health and Wealth Show, 5 to 6 a.m. right here on 99.5, Monday through Friday. And I guess it replays over the weekends. I don't know the exact schedule, but check those guys out because they do a good job. They also do a good job of making sure your money stays put and is not tanking with the stock market, which is why you need to call them. These guys are asset preservationists. They preserve your assets. Whatever your money is currently, if you've looked at your 401k lately, you've watched it get chipped away at and chipped away at. You can stop that bleeding with one simple phone call. If you're anywhere close to retirement, depending on what you got in there, these guys can help you. 205-479-0839. They use insurance products through insurance companies to make sure your money stays your money. 479-0839 is the number. And online, retirewithernest.com. Make sure you give the line a shout out when you get in touch with them. Fred's over in Trussville. Fred, what's up, buddy?
I understand you're having problems with your HVAC.
That is correct.
That is correct. Okay. A couple of questions. Is it split system or a package unit?
That's all Spanish to me. What does that mean? Because I have no idea.
Well, a package unit is the whole unit is outside beside your house. A split system, you're going to have a condensing unit outside and a unit inside and a closet or something.
No. It's just one big unit on the outside.
One big unit on the outside. Okay. Now, I understand we have pets.
Yes.
In the house.
Correct.
Cats.
Two of them.
Two cats. Okay. And you're not getting the airflow you think you need. You should be getting.
That's right.
Hear you say that?
Yep.
I will be willing to bet that you have pet hair on your evaporator coil. I've seen it a million times.
And where do I find that bad boy at?
Well, you should and you shouldn't fear taking the top of your unit off. If you're careful, you won't have a problem. But if you take the top of your unit off, you should be able to access. You'll see two coils, coil on the outside and a coil on the inside. And where the air comes in and goes through the coil on the inside, that will.
Gotcha.
You're either low oil Freon or you've got pet hair on the evaporator coil.
Fred.
And I'd be willing to bet pet hair on the evaporator
coil. I appreciate that, and I'll check that out. John Bird, write down evaporator coil for me.
I'm on it.
We have gone from promoting Jim Butters' radio show to turning into Jim Butters' radio show right here on Talk 99.5. All right, enough about my personal life and my issues. Let's talk about some important stuff. As of this morning, the Supreme Court levied another ruling on some of these very high-profile cases. Now, I've told you guys in days and weeks past that it would be crunch time this week. As the Supreme Court session ends at the end of the month, they're out of there. So everything they've got on the docket, their goal is to make rulings on all of it. We will see more rulings as the week goes on. And we will assess those as they happen. But as of this morning, the Supreme Court ruled in favor of that football coach's right to pray at games. Now, it's been an interesting situation as to how this lawsuit came to fruition. Now, the coach won this case in a 6-3 ruling, which I believe is exactly what we saw in the Roe v. Wade ruling. This is from 2015, where the Supreme Court decided that the school district violated the coach's right to free speech when they prohibited him from praying on the field, and that coach subsequently lost his job. What he would do is he would kneel at midfield after the games to offer a prayer, usually lasting about 30 seconds. The school district believed that to allow this coach, whose name is Kennedy, we'll call him Coach Kennedy, to allow him to pray would indicate that the school district was endorsing his religious beliefs, which is one of the dumbest arguments I've ever heard. Neil Gorsuch obviously thought the same thing, as he said that reasoning was misguided. So at first, Kennedy offered the prayer on his own. Over time, students would start to join him. When athletes asked if they could join him, the coach told them, "This is a free country. You can do what you want." And so they did. He would go pray at midfield, and then voluntarily, players would join him for that prayer. The school district sends the coach a letter saying that he's violating the Establishment Clause and that he needed to cease his behavior or he would lose his job. So after he gets that letter, he complies with the terms, which included no longer referencing his religious beliefs and motivational speeches, no longer offering locker room prayer, and giving up his midfield post-game prayers. But after a few days, or it may have been a couple of weeks, he finally decided that he wasn't going to stand for that. His quote was, he felt like he had broken his commitment to God in giving up the practice. So he pushed back against the school, and ultimately that's where this ended up in the Supreme Court. And the Supreme Court's basically saying, hey, it's a matter of free speech. Doesn't matter what his religion is, he should be able to do this. He's not forcing kids to participate in these prayers. He's not announcing it as the official stance of the school or anything of the sort. He's doing it on his own, and the Constitution protects his ability to do that. Big ruling for religious freedom. And I can't help but look back over the past, not just weeks and months, but even the past year, blow by blow, the Supreme Court has slapped around the Biden administration unlike a president that I can remember in recent memory. If you recall, a federal judge temporarily barred the White House from ending Title 42, which is the migration health policy to stay in Mexico. That comes on the heels of the Florida-based judge overruling the federal mask mandate. Before that, if you recall, the CDC gets a smack from the courts for their eviction moratorium back in August 2021. Then federal court striking down the vaccine mandates for private businesses in January. The courts, one by one, has dealt a blow to this administration. And you have to ask yourself, well, why is that? How can one administration take so many lumps when it comes to the constitutionality of their policies? On Friday, the same day that the abortion issue decision was handed down, another federal court paused the ban, the Biden administration's ban on Juul vapes. It's because the things and the policies that the Biden administration is putting forward are in fact unconstitutional. They're overreaching. They're going beyond their powers. So whether it's federal courts or the Supreme Court, they're all coming to the same conclusion that the Biden administration is going over the line. And again, there's more. There's more on the way. The next big setback could involve the Homeland Security Department, where they're facing lawsuits from two different groups regarding this cockamamie investigation about Border Patrol agents whipping Haitian migrants, which we found out was not the case. They drew those conclusions from a simple picture where there were no whips involved, said that these Border Patrol agents would face consequences. Those words came out of Joe Biden's mouth. Then once we found out that's not actually what happened, the Biden administration now has to save face and will not end the investigation because they're not willing to say, oh, we got it wrong. Now it's on the way to the Supreme Court. One after another, because this is one of the most, if not the most, unconstitutional administrations we've ever seen. And it's for one reason and one reason only, because they have bowed down to the most extreme wing of their party. Almost every crisis that this country is facing today is because of that, because the Democrats have given in to those that are most extreme within their party. That's why we're seeing the reaction that we're seeing across cities across the country. For instance, pro-abortion Democrats are rioting in several cities across the country all weekend. We knew that was going to happen. The irony is they're rioting in Democrat-run cities, which normally seems to be the case. I don't see them coming to red cities and towns because they likely know what would happen. You don't want to go riot in places where 75% of the population owns multiple firearms. But this is what they endorse. You think about Joe Biden's reaction, his speech he gave after the Supreme Court decision Friday. It was the first time that we heard him say that violence wasn't acceptable when it came to the reaction from Supreme Court rulings or the Supreme Court draft. We had been through an attempted assassination on a Supreme Court justice. We had been through multiple protests and intimidation from people against justices, doxing their home addresses, where they go to church, what times they go to church. All of these acts had been happening for weeks, and it wasn't until the abortion decision was leveled, he decided to say, violence is not acceptable. Remain peaceful. Nobody's listening to you anymore, Joe, so it doesn't really matter now. Nobody's listening to you, including the pro-abortion movement. They don't like you. Nobody likes you. It's like that meme everybody shares. It's from Joe Dirt, where Kid Rock is like, won't you go home, boy? Go get you a wham burger and some French fries. You know, he's yelling at David Spade, Joe Dirt.
Yeah, that's great.
But they put Joe Biden's face on him instead. Why don't you go on home, get you a Weineken? That's basically what's happening. Nobody wants him around anymore. So they're not going to listen to him when he says these things. Not to mention it doesn't matter because the people they are listening to, the AOCs, the Maxine Waters, the Elizabeth Warrens, they're still calling for the violence. They're still saying, suit up, armor up, get out in the streets. So it will, in fact, continue. And all throughout this thrives this complete ignorance on the entire issue itself. If you were that concerned about the issue, why would you not take the time over the weekend to actually look into it and see why it happened? What it was originally, how did it get here 50 years ago? And what happened on Friday? What happened between 1973 and 2022 that put us here at this point? Yeah, big part of that was three separate Supreme Court picks from the Orange Man. That was a big part of it. But it was inevitable. And many people said it was inevitable, including Ruth Bader Ginsburg. Here's two separate clips of Ruth Bader Ginsburg explaining exactly why, well before it ever happened, that Roe v. Wade was overturned on Friday.
The court had an easy target because the Texas law was the most extreme in the nation. I thought Roe v. Wade was an easy case, and the Supreme Court could have held that most extreme law unconstitutional and put down its pen. Instead, the court wrote an opinion that made every abortion restriction in the country illegal in one fell swoop. And that was not the way that the court ordinarily operates. You know, it waits till the next case and the next case. Anyway, it was that some women felt that I should have been 100% in favor of Roe v. Wade, and because I wasn't.
Roe became a symbol, I think, for the right to life movement. They had a single target to hit at. This decision, this most undemocratic decision by 9 justices who nobody elected to make policy for the country. My criticism of Roe is that it seemed to have stopped the momentum, which was the momentum wasn't on the side of a change.
She was against Roe v. Wade because she knew it was on such fragile standing in the first place. She is for abortion. She is pro-abortion. She wants women to be able to do that. She's the original Supreme Court feminist. But she knew the decision that was made in 1973 was not going to hold up long term. And you heard her say it was not only the most undemocratic decision, but that it stopped the momentum for what she would ultimately want. And that is, in fact, abortion for all. She says the Supreme Court is not the legislative branch. We don't make law. We interpret the Constitution. And we've got nothing to interpret when it comes to abortion. It was brought to the table because of a lawsuit that involved the state of Texas and their restrictive abortion law, saying that the only way to allow abortion in Texas was if the life of the mother was at stake. No other reason. No reason if it was going to completely debilitate the mother or cause her to be paralyzed or whatever. That didn't count. Only if the mother was going to die. That lawsuit made its way to the Supreme Court. And instead of saying, okay, what Texas is doing is illegal or unconstitutional, they levied Roe v. Wade and just made it across the board. Said no restrictions on abortion for the entire country. And that was never going to work on subjective due process. She knew it. Everybody on the court knew it. She said this was not how the court operates, but instead they did it. And the only reason it had gone on as long as it had is because justices over the past 50 years likely didn't want to deal with this backlash that those six justices are dealing with today. But thank God that those justices had the courage to actually stand up in the face of enormous pressure weeks before their decision, having their decision leaked and still following through. That is a testament that will go down in the history books for those six judges you watch. 545-9950. Back after this. Vaporforge bringing you this portion of the show. Vaporforge out on 280. As I tell you guys, y'all are really showing up at Vaporforge, and I appreciate that more than you could possibly know. And I know y'all are showing up, one, because the guys tell me, and two, I meet a new listener, one or two new listeners every time I'm down there. So I appreciate y'all going by there and showing those guys love, because when you support those guys, you are supporting the show. But what makes me even happier is when you guys walk in there and you're like, wow, this is everything you told me it was. They got everything I need, and for a fraction of the price. It's that easy. I'm not lying to y'all. I'm not going to be sending y'all to businesses that ain't going to treat you right. This one's going to treat you right. Tony and Amy, the owners, great friends of mine. I love them to death, and I appreciate what they do for the community to help people get off cigarettes. Even as the federal government continues to attack their business and so many others, they still fight the good fight. So go see them, whether it's your vape needs, your Delta 8, your CBD, they got you covered. 205-874-9010. 874-9010. If you got any questions, or stop by 4673 Highway 280 East, right next to Bailey Brothers Music Company, or check them out, vaporforge.com. All that info right there in the Vaporforge 280 on Facebook and Twitter. One thing that has warmed my heart about this Supreme Court ruling on Friday is the fact that so many Planned Parenthoods are either shuttering their doors or pausing their abortion services. Planned Parenthood is one of the most disgusting, corrupt organizations in the entire U.S. An organization whose primary purpose when it was launched was to thin out the black community. I cannot believe that the words Planned Parenthood are even being allowed to be uttered in society these days. Steve Marshall, Attorney General of Alabama, issued a statement pretty quick saying, hey, here we go. Abortion services in Alabama, shut them down. Clinics, shut them down. Stop with the abortions. And I could not be happier to see it happen to Planned Parenthood, which is an awful, awful organization from the very top. So congratulations. Hour number two, next.
When you have sports mixed with your pop culture, along with humor and celebrity interviews, your earbuds are enjoying the Rich Eisen Show.
Kevin Millar, we're all paying rent in Ohtani's world, right?
And the Dodgers world. Game is healthy. Game is good. And, you know, I get asked a lot, is that good for baseball? Yeah, it's good for baseball. This is definitely the team to beat, because that should be your next correction, Richie, is this World Series a bust for the Dodgers and Dave Roberts?
Hell yeah.
Search for the Rich Eisen Show on YouTube or wherever you listen.